Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Recovering Healer Podcast. My name is Rhea. I am the voice behind the Recovering Healer Podcast. How are you all doing today? How are you all feeling? I hope you guys are having a good morning, noon, or night, wherever your day. I hope you guys are also taking care of yourselves and your families, if you have one. As for me, I am doing wonderful. Thanks for asking. So once again, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hello, everyone. Please excuse the tired voice. Maybe I'm a sleepy girl. I'm a sleepy girl, all right? I didn't take my nap today, you know. Oh, my goodness. And I always take a nap on days like this specifically, and I take no nap, and I love taking naps, you know, so, but yeah, as someone who has high energy, I need to take my nap, and I ain't do that, so I am reaping the consequences of not taking my little nap, but I hope you guys are doing well. Welcome to a new month. I'm popping in for our monthly shindig, our monthly, you know, our monthly conversation. And, what do I want to talk about today? So let's talk about some of my salute. Let's give an update, but some new things I have learned now that I am post celibacy journey, right? Before I even get started, I just want to say this because I think this is really, really important, right? So, I do not have any children. I am not yet married, right? And throughout my 20s, right, especially once I hit like 25, 26, I was shamed a lot. Not a lot, but by many different people in my life for exclusively entering partnerships with men that did not have any children, right? Or being very strict and stern with my boundaries. And it rubbed me the wrong way a lot. People often threw it in my face, oh, if you know, your mother didn't marry, you know, didn't get remarried. And even though she had a child, you would have had a different situation. Just being extremely disrespectful and inconsiderate, right? Of course, those people are no longer in my life. But that is not a good reference point. One, we are not the same person, right? And two, I did not have the best experience being part of a blended family. So, of course, I was absolutely traumatized and triggered by those things. And I think it's very important to know that I am someone that knows myself. I know my capabilities. I know my capacity. And I've spent many, many years with myself, working on myself, figuring myself out. So the things that I put into place and the things that I desire is for a reason, right? I would never say that someone that has a child is a liability in any way, you know? But I do believe there are compromises that people who embark on a partnership with individuals in such positions will have to partake in. I am just not an individual like that at all in any capacity. I personally have never embarked on any type of partnership with anyone with children or a child. Men in those circumstances do not even approach me or are underneath that radar over here. Never been my experience. will never be my experience, by God's grace. And yeah, you know, fast forward now, I do have a relative that entered into a situation like that who's currently going through a divorce. It seems like I'm always crazy to people until I'm right. It's just like people have so much to say about me and the decisions that I make and how I live my life and the boundaries that I have, right? If I'm not called uppity, I'm called bougie. If I'm not called bougie, I'm called stuck up. All type of foolishness, because I know my capacity. Do what works best for you. I always tell people, like, don't follow in my footsteps. I am not a good example to follow in, because I am not responsible for the decisions that anybody else make except for me. I am only responsible for me currently and the decisions I make, because it's going to fit into what I am able to hold, my capacity, right? Like, don't do the things that I do, you know? Like, we're not the same person. You can't. You can't expect, you know, any type of, you know, the same result or whatever the case may be. Maybe I don't even know what I'm saying because I'm tired, okay? But that's important. That's really, really important. But yeah, like, I never even considered that as an option for myself or my life. And yeah. But I know I would not be a good step-parent because I don't care enough about what other people got going on to be a part of my life. If it's going to affect my life in any way, I don't care about it. You understand? Like, I know what it's like. I've been there. Parents don't get along or whatever the case may be. I don't keep that where it needs to go. Okay. Keep that. I know it sounds really harsh, but that's just not my thing. And I've always stood 10 toes behind my decision, and I will always stand 10 toes behind my decisions. You know, there's a lot of people or step-parents who do not enjoy being step-parents. They want the goose and they don't want the gander. They want the muma or the pupa and they don't want the pitney. And you cannot have one without the other, right? And yeah, like, I think more people need to be real about that, you know? Yeah, I feel like people are not honest with themselves and it causes a whole lot of confusion and chaos. Like, do what makes you happy. Be what makes you happy. But understand that there's a lot of things that factor into that equation, okay? All right. Ooh, that sounded really serious. You know, I'm always lighthearted and giggly and very happy. And that is just my personality as a whole. But there's the other side of me where I'm in business. And I do not play, okay? My nay is my nay and my yay is my yay, okay? I'm very good at riding the fence and compromising very, very easily. But when something is of core value to me, ain't no compromising when it comes to that. You understand? Like, you have to know yourself and you have to have boundaries because it creates a whole lot more clarity, right? So, yeah. And it's not anything that I've been through that has really shaped these experiences. I've always just understood that there's always going to be a time where the extra mile is going to need pushing, and to be in the best space where you could push a little bit and be pushed a little bit and be pushed a little bit without cracking, because you are so determined to make something work because you chose it from the very beginning because you knew that you had the capacity, is the best place to be. So that's where I want to be. And I know that for me, I cannot be the best wife, mother, you know, lover, friend, all of that, if I am part of that situation. So, yeah, shout out to my family member who's going through that. You know, it's tough. It's tough. But be honest, you know, when you don't want to be in something, be honest, no matter what, you know, like, I truly believe God will not put us in places that we don't need to be in. Sometimes as people, we make decisions out of surface level characteristics or appearances without fully thinking about what's going on. And I think we need to do more of that, you know. So that's crazy. I'm even having this 10 whole minutes, right? I just think after helping her go through this situation and seeing how heavy it is, like, I just really feel like more people need to be honest. You know what I mean? Yeah. Anyway, let's talk about what I've learned, celibacy journey and everything. So as you all know, if you've been listening long enough, my only desire was to be celibate for 1 year after getting kicked out of my program, right? I was in a branch program between undergrad and med school, right? And I got kicked out because I did not do well in a couple of my courses. I didn't fail them, but I scored really low, you know? And it just was not good enough to continue on to the program. I wanted to get myself together. I was going through a lot at that time. So it was just, my life was falling apart. It was just, hey, it's mirroring this year, last year. That's crazy. But yeah, my life was falling apart and I just wanted to get myself together. So I was like, let me cut this out. You know, it's something I enjoy, as do almost everybody, but I didn't want any distractions. I wanted to focus on my education. I wanted to focus on making sure I had a solid foundation for myself and my life. So I told God, well, I didn't really tell God anything, you know. I started feeling it in my spirit that it was time to go celibate, so, or to abstain from sex. So I was like, okay, like, now that I'm feeling it, let me go ahead and do it. I did it for, well, I did it for the year, right? Literally, things just started happening. If you know my story, the blockages and everything, right? I went celibate before that. The blockages started happening right when I was about to end my celibacy journey, or like kind of sort of like closer to the end of it, right? I was considering ending it because, you know, I had people in my life, right? I was entering into a relationship. So I decided, I was like, okay, God, I've done my year in prison in chastity belts. Let me go ahead and, you know, if I'm going to enter into a new relationship, let me get back into the swing of things. Now, what I will say was, I did not start knocking boots until I was an adult. I was fully grown, okay? Like, in my 20s type of grown. So, I did not have a lot of experience in that area as it is, right? So, the celibacy journey, like, taking that year off to abstain was not that big of a deal. It wasn't something I was doing continuously. So it wasn't like, okay, like, I can't live without it. It wasn't like, it was cool. Like, it wasn't, I was okay doing without it, right? So when the blockages started happening, I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And the blockages, I tried. I'm like, go front, okay? Like, listen, as time went on, there was some very, very close calls. And every single time, something will happen where it will block it. Like, where I couldn't partake in that type of activity. So, it wasn't until 2019, I think it was January to be exact, where I entered. It was an individual that I was about to enter into a relationship with. He was about to head to his training camp and it was in another state and he invited me to come. I was like, you know, I don't deal with that shacking up business, honey.
I'm gonna have to get my own room. He was like, all right, I'll get you your own hotel room. I was gonna do that anyways, so you could just relax while I go to training camp, right? He played a professional sport, so that was cool with me, right? A couple days before that, we were having a conversation, and we were talking about both our situations, our growing up and things like that. And he just opened my eyes to so much. And this is why, like, when God puts certain people in your life to teach you certain things, this is why it's good to humble yourself and listen. Because of those conversations I was having with this gentleman, it made me, like, want to be celibate even more. Like, I was so excited. Not excited, but I was so afraid to damage my children. And I started looking at my situation of my upbringing and the paternal side and, like, just the chaos, so much chaos. And it just made me think really long and hard about, yo, like, Reed, like, what are you putting yourself through? You know what I mean? Like, why is it even okay for you to lay down with somebody that has not made you their spouse, right? Like, at that time, I wasn't even thinking about marriage like that. But to me, like, the highest commitment is marriage, right? So I was just like, why would you even allow that? For what? Some pleasure? That's not going to last no more than, like, 15 minutes, right? Like, in increments, if at best. Like, what about the children? Like, what about the children you're going to create? Like, you do not want to be in that situation. I realized the reason why I even had the mindset that it was okay to have children out of wedlock was because of A, what I've been taught, and B, what I was born into, right? That's a whole different conversation for a whole different day. But my mind started to change from then. You know, I don't know if maturity started to kick in. I don't know if the frontal lobe started to frontal lobe, but January 2019, he was the one. He was the one that inspired me more than anything to really understand the repercussions of what that might do, you know? So, yeah. And ever since then, I have been very serious about it. Like, God, I ain't trying nothing. Well, I'm not going to lie. I did mention a couple years ago that I almost got married to somebody, and there was about to be something going down, because I'm like, okay, like, I'm about to marry you anyways, and individual caught us, like, listen, right on time, and shortly after, you know, anyway, God was like, you better keep that thing on lock. You gonna keep that thing on lock. That thing chastity belt with lock and key. Lock and key. So, yeah. Like, but that was because I was almost getting married. That's why. But, you know, thankfully nothing happened. And I noticed during my Saturn return, like the second year of my Saturn return, things started to really change for me when it came to that. Now, my Saturn return in relationships is a whole different conversation, but things started to change for me during my Saturn return, right? I started to become very repulsed by any type of interaction that I wasn't supposed to be in, you know? I was very used to going out and about, doing my even daily things and, you know, catching eye contact with a gentleman or somebody wanting my attention. And I'm not saying I walk around and people just flock to me. No, that's not it. But, you know, once you're an attractive person, like, people naturally are magnetized towards you. Like, they really, I don't know, it's just like you could feel it, you know? Anyway, I started to avoid eye contact, you know? It's so funny because I am always smiling and always happy. And then I just started like avoiding eye contact, like looking at the ground or looking away, because I knew that that's not where I was supposed to be, you know? A gentleman held my hand and I became nauseous. Like, and I know it sounds wild, but physical contact and any type of interaction became really repulsive. I just, sometimes the things that I experienced, I wish I could explain it better, but I just can't. I could only give you what I was feeling in the moment. But even conversations, you know, I started not wanting to answer my phone. And I thought there was something wrong with me, because for many, many years, like, dating, relationships excite me so much. I loved it. But I don't know if I was realizing that A, I was wasting my time because I was not supposed to be there, or B, like, I was truly understanding what intimacy was and I wasn't aligned at all, right? Like, the idea of intimacy got very, very boring to me, because I felt like the sensuality was missing out of it, you know, the patience, the time, the foreplay of it all was just missing, the love, the connection, all of that was just missing. And everyone had a common goal, A, not to be lonely, or B, just trying to get their rocks off. And I think that really started to cause me to separate myself from people, separate myself from anything related to that, you know? It became pointless. Like, all of it just became super duper pointless. And at the same time, the journey I was on was pulling me towards the individual more and more, to the point where I did not have the capacity to take on anything else. You know, it was just super duper intense, where, you know, I kind of had to like shift my focus. But I will also say I did went ahead and test God. You know, it's okay to test the spirit. It's in the Bible. You know, I'm like, are you sure, God, you want me there? If you paid attention to my older episodes, I made those to kind of gain clarity, because I'm like, God, like, are you sure? I'm not understanding. There's other, you know, if you want me to be somewhere else, I will go. I don't mind, you know? Like, are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure? I had to spend a lot of time in prayer, because it just seemed so bizarre to me. But my palate was changing, right? Like, I became very disconnected to surface, any type of surface, anything, like completely, you know. And it just made me want to keep myself exclusive even more and more. Now, I will say, with that almost marriage situation, that is something that also turned me off to any type of wanting and desiring to be in any place that will cause me to kind of fall in a way, or do something I'm not supposed to be doing. It was just rough. Okay. I'm not about to sit here and sugarcoat nothing. That was rough. That's the person who I thought I was going to marry. I was 27 years old. That was the man. That was the guy. Oh, 27 sounds so old. But that was the man. Like, me and him were on and off for a couple of years. And that's the person. Like, I was fully prepared to be in a marriage with this man. I don't know. I just felt like we had enough in common to go ahead and do what we need to do, right? It should not have, you know, but God didn't want me there. And that heartbreak of knowing that God didn't want me there and having to make that decision, and I felt like I had to make it again, I was just so tired of making that decision. And it wore me out. Like, for months, I just wanted to be by myself. I wanted to be alone. And I'm just like, God, I cannot do this again. I cannot do this. I can't. And God reminded me, I never sent you there to begin with. You ain't take your two leg and you go, I send you? I was like, oh no. This is the last time. This is the last time I'm dealing with this, yo. Like, I'm not dealing with it anymore. It's like I finally learned my lesson after all these years. But yeah, like it just shifted. Like I ain't want no, like I'm just like everything is missing. Surface level. On top of that, I'm shedding tears in the shower because I couldn't marry the person I thought I was going to marry because God said no, and I would rather have a failed engagement than a failed marriage. Like, this is a lot for me, you know. And I've had to make some really hard decisions. You know, sometimes obedience, well, all the time, obedience is better than sacrifice. And I had to make some hard decisions, you know. So that even strengthened my desire to abstain even more. Because I was close to hunching that man, right? I was close to hunching. And it just made me shut everything down. I was like, I don't want, like, police. I just... And you know what? When you are in a situation where you may end up sleeping with somebody, it's just so hard to break up with them, right? And God showed me so much about myself and how I just cannot be in a situation like that. Because one, I feel like I'm gonna get too attached, you know? And two, it will cause things to be super complicated when it doesn't need to be. Mind you, I was on and off with this gentleman, right? So if I'm on and off with you, imagine what will happen if we merge like that. And maybe that the heat was high. Okay. The heat was high. The heat was high. Boy, shout out to God for making a way of escape. Man. Anyway. So yeah, I just had to get it together. You know, I feel like every single step of this journey has been protection, but also giving me the leeway to really figure out and see what is going on. You know, I was constantly reminded that I was not being punished, although it felt like it, right? It's not something that you take lightly. Merging with somebody on that level is not something that you take lightly. It's very spiritual, you know, and it requires a whole lot of awareness of what you're doing, you know. I also fully believe the reason why I wanted to do these things to begin with, because there's always a reason. I, you know, don't let people say, oh, I'm doing it just because. No, what is your reasoning? Just like with a cell, and how the mitochondria gives the cell energy, and that's the basis of the energy. Like, where is your mitochondria? Where's your energy for anything coming from? What is fueling your decisions? There's always something that's fueling your decisions. People have sex out of loneliness. They have sex out of, you know, pure attraction, you know, and they're trying to distract themselves for something. Sex is often used as escapism. There's so many different reasons why, but there's always a reason, and it's never just because. You understand? So for me, I feel like because I experienced sexual abuse as a child, or assaults, you know, assaults, it really took something away from me. Even let me just say this as well. Even though it wasn't something that was extreme, it took something away from me that made me feel like I was disconnected from my body, mind and soul. Like, my mind and my body was just disconnected, you know. I worked out, I took care of myself, you know, kept my body up, kept it nice and right and tight. But I did not see my body as a temple. I didn't see it as something that I had to preserve by any means necessary, because I just felt like, well, you know, this is something I'm at the age I'm supposed to be doing it. I'm not thinking about it. I don't have any connection. You know, it is what it is. And I really, this journey as a whole has really brought me back to one with myself. It's made me even more sensitive to even touch. Like, before, it was whatever. Like, I'm holding hands, I'm locking lips. But this journey really, like, made me, like, super aware of who I'm even having a conversation with, you know? So I did a whole, like, breakdown on one of my social medias. I should have made it into a thread, but I didn't do that. So there's that. But yeah, like, it really brought me back to self. It gave me a difference. It gave me a different level of awareness. I feel like this episode is all over the place. I'm not going to apologize for it either, because I don't really feel like it, okay? But, basically, this is what happens when I'm tired. I could be so rude. Rhea, get yourself together. There's no reason to be rude. All in all, this journey has been wonderful for me, you know. It has been so, so good. So, so good. And I don't regret it, you know. I don't regret it. There's beauty in honoring yourself. And there's beauty in respecting yourself. Another thing I would like to say, right? A lot of people don't talk about this during their Saturn return, but you face yourself. You face the rawest form of yourself during your Saturn return. Your Saturn return is when all the decisions you've made up until then come face to face with you. All the people you slept with, all the drugs you've done, all the alcohol you drank, all the ways you cheated and scammed and lied. You get your karma during your Saturn return, right? And your Saturn return, you hit, I don't want to say everyone, but you get to a point in your Saturn return where there's a plateau. And in that plateau, there's a lot of reflection. And in that reflection, you really start to see yourself for who you are. Not who you pretend to be, not who you make up in your mind, not who everyone else see you as, but who you are, because life gets really real, right? So during that time, you have no choice but to face yourself, because, you know, the only way, you know, from there is up, right? So within facing yourself, you really start to see your value, how you value yourself. And man, you think about all the ways that you have lowered yourself, or how you self-sabotage yourself, or how you put yourself in danger. And I think that's why a lot of people struggle mentally during their Saturn return. And a lot of people also don't talk about it, but it's when you see yourself for everything that you are, right? And it could be really, really hard sometimes. But I think for me, because of me not putting myself... let me not even give myself credit, child, because I already said it was a close call. So that wasn't me. That was God. Okay. But because I didn't experience being tugged and pulled on and wasting my time in those ways, like, there was just a deep sense of gratitude and peace that I had. Because I know, all in all, like, I valued myself by not allowing people to use me in that way. Right? Like, you just see yourself so differently. If you've been through your Saturn return, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you haven't, you'll see. Okay? I hate to make the Saturn return sound scary, because it's not. But there are things that you go through within your Saturn return that changes you. Like, it changes. It grows you in a way that is just so deep and just so, like, permanent that until you go through, you can't explain it. But yeah, like, the peace that I feel, that I did not, a lot of decisions or a lot of things that I wanted did not work out. Ooh, my ears are ringing like crazy. It didn't work out, it's just such, like, I get to see why. I got to see why things didn't happen the way that I desired, you know? Why, you know, I was about to go home with that gentleman. He was about to come back to my place, baby. We was about to do handcuffs and whips and chains. So I was like being tied up. But you know, I was gonna have a little fun, and then, you know, I've done fainted in a people restaurant. Or when I was supposed to go to the training camp with my boo, like, I got really sick the day before and super duper dizzy. Doctors couldn't find out what was wrong with me. Or, you know, just so many instances where the things that I thought was unfair was my protection. I was being protected heavily, going through my Saturn return and feeling relief because I was not reliving decisions that I just couldn't imagine. Like, oh my God, you know? But, yeah. So that's it. That's it. I am super grateful, very, very grateful for this journey. I think, or the celibacy journey that I was on, I think it gave me a sense of myself back. It healed a lot of the things that I didn't know needed healing. And I think it made me even more powerful because just to know that there is just such a innocence about me still. And I am not mad at some random man, you know, that I don't need to deal with anymore, you know, for giving him my body. Like, that right there, I don't even care what nobody says. That's an accomplishment. And that's a big deal. It's a big deal to not end up in that situation, you know. I'm not judging, though. I'm not judging. Things happen, you know, people go through things, people make decisions, and yada, yada, yada. But, baby, I feel amazing. I feel amazing, and I'm really happy about that, you know. But, yeah, sorry this episode don't sound all chipper and cherry and whatever the case may be. I am tired. I didn't take my nap today. This was very impromptu, and yeah, so yeah, going forward, what am I looking forward to when it comes to that part of my life? Like I said, like, I feel like it's missing its essence. Sex is missing its essence, you know, and I feel like it's something that should be shared with someone that understands and appreciates, you know, the importance of it. Like, I feel like it's not something that should be taken very lightly. And it feels really good to know that, like, I'm letting you into a chamber that is yours and has been ready for you. Oh, why was I about to say hot and ready like Little Caesar? I crack myself up sometimes. That is so funny. But yeah, sharing that experience where you are mine, I am yours, baby, yes. So put on a little show, my stripper pole child. Why did I post something about a stripper pole? And people are like so shocked that I'm like, do you know who I am? This is how you know people don't know me, okay? This is not the first time. All right, I just want to say that, like, that's, I'm a naturally super expressive person, right? Like, I enjoy every aspect of myself in my life. So, I mean, I'm really quiet and shy in person now. Wasn't before, but now. And it's just like, a stripper pole? What? Yes, the swing, everything. But this episode is already 40 minutes long. I am about to go ahead and close it out, and I will talk to you guys soon. Okay? Have a good day.